From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Kenneth Cheesh, Hawa, Toyoksik Newsom, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, we talk the first Friday of the year with the Juno Douglas City Museum, which will feature Celia Bauer. We get more First Friday and Arts Goodness for January from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council in the monthly Arts Roundup. And we get a sneak peek at a new Widows and Widowers Garden Support Group that begins this coming Monday, January 6th. Those conversations, Tongass voices, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Hanson Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha an ka gun cheesh.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Boston Christopher. The year is new, 2025, if you can believe that. But First Friday rolls on, and we've got the first one happening tomorrow, January 3rd. Celia Bauer's opening reception for Getting to Know the Birds is happening at the Juno Douglas City Museum. I'm joined now by Kate Ross from the museum to tell us more. Gunath Chi, Sha Yigudi, thank you so much. Kate, Happy New Year. Welcome to the studio. It's a pleasure to see you again. And yeah. Wasa Iyati, how's it going?
Oh, Happy New Year. I can't believe 2025. I can't. What is time?
I was telling you before we started, I just thought it was amazing. I saw this, somebody, I don't know, put it out somewhere on social media. They're like, 2025 means that a quarter of the century of the 2000s is gone.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
And I'm like, whoa. I mean, I'm not going to see the 3000s, but it's still kind of like we were just, you know, fretting over Y2K like not that long ago. That felt like yesterday.
Right. I remember Y2K.
Yeah. It was like, oh, the computers are going to shut down. Everything's going to, you know, go nuts.
Right. And now people know that you're like well within age to buy alcohol if they know you're, it starts with a 19. They're like, you're fine. You're fine. Like, you don't want to check again? No? Okay.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so good. Okay, so you're still working at the museum, and you're still doing all the things, and
you things.
It rolls on. So tell us about the new exhibit that's going to be opening tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's in our media room or our community gallery room, and it's Celia Bauer, Getting to Know the Birds. And so Celia worked with the Juno Audubon Society last year, actually, and part of this work, I'm not sure if it was an internship or like the exact title, but part of that was she was doing field work and studying these birds and working on some of the like the swallow houses and things like that they have. And so she was out there doing sketches and kind of field studies of a lot of these birds. So it's a really cool group of paintings and sketches and kind of color studies and things like that of these birds that she was spending time with. So it's a really neat little exhibit, little kind of snapshot into an artistic lens of some birding and some more scientific material.
It's interesting because I was reading about Celia and she has a bachelor's degree in marine biology, but then, you know, she's sort of exploring the artistic side, but she knows about the water and the land and all those things. And so it's interesting to think about a scientist's perspective of the land and the birds and how Celia sees it versus maybe who somebody else who might see it differently. So it's going to be cool to check that one out.
Yeah, and there will be some information there from the Audubon Society as well. They do a whole – they do a series of lectures. They do all sorts of really fun stuff that I think sometimes the word doesn't always get out. But they do a lot of really, really cool stuff in the community. They lead guided walks, I know, at least a few times a year in the spring, summer, fall. Yeah, so it's a great group, and Celia's work is really, really cool to see. I particularly love – The little color studies are really fun to me to see, where you're looking at, you know, a view of nature, right? And then pulling out the little bits of, well, what color is actually in that bird or in that tree or in the water? So it's fun to see a little bit of the process behind things as well.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, Juno Audubon's on this show all the time.
Yeah.
They love to have their lecture talks. They're so interesting. They're not always about birds either. And then, yeah, they do the spring walks, which is really fun. So this, tell me a little bit about the reception, what time it is, and what will be happening.
Yeah, so it's our typical first Friday reception at the museum. It'll be 4:30 to 7. I'm not sure how many snacks, but I'm sure we'll have snacks like normal.
Right.
We love snacks.
Snacks.
Yeah, so that'll be the opening reception for hers, and that her exhibit is up already, so if you want to avoid the crowds. But it'll be up for a couple months, so that'll be fun to be able to see. But yeah, so come by City Museum 4:30 to 7 on Friday, or really anytime. We're open Tuesday through Saturday 10 to 4, and free admission all winter, which I always like to remind people, because we have really cool solo artists that come through, you know, rotating out most months. We have kids area, we have activity for kids, fun gift shop. So yeah. And it's for free in the winter, thanks to community sponsors.
I love that. That's so good. And how do you – I thought of this question because you talked about the different solo artists and exhibitions and things like that. How does the museum decide who's going to be exhibited?
Yeah, that's a great question. So every year, it's in the fall. I'm trying to remember when the exact deadline was last year. You can find out all the information about deadlines if you're interested to apply at all for being a solo artist on the website. But there's a panel – of people that get together and look at all the submissions and have, you know, a whole complicated rubric for scoring, and they have conversation and discussion, and it's really cool. And that panel is made up of some of our museum staff as well as some artists in the community that are invited to participate. So it's really interesting. We get a wide variety of applications every year, and so the things that are chosen are different all the time, and we try to look for different mediums, different types of art, and yeah.
That's what I was going to say, is like, are you looking for sort of diversity in terms of the different kinds of art? It doesn't matter what art form per se.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I mean, it's mostly, you know, it's visual art, but that could be anything. You know, that could be installation, video, you know, other things, mixed media, sculptural. There's a lot of different ways that could go. And so it's really cool, you know, when we have our in the summer season, we have one exhibit up all summer, right? We had the Lee Hopes last year, the Ehkuu, but in the winter we change it out either every month or every 2 months. And so you get a chance through the winter, if you come back, you know, a few times, handful of times, to see different art. And so right now through the end of January, we have our continuing exhibit in our Leslie Murray Gallery, is the Three Body Problem. And that's with Terry Gardner-Robas, Timmy Johnson, and Patrick Rip. So that will be continuing all the way till January 25th. That's a super cool show. So
yeah, they were on the show for that, and
yeah.
In the early December, and it was really interesting because that group together as artists like challenge themselves to do different things and different art forms and explore different things, and this show was sort of came out of that work that they do, which was really cool. And you can, if you want to go back and listen to that conversation before you go see the show, you can find it on kto.org/afternoon. It was in early December. It was really cool. That's really fun. And then I do see that the continuing exhibit of Switch and Exchange, if you haven't seen it, it's still there.
It's still there. That'll be there for a while. We usually have around that kind of our map case area, kind of right when you first come in the museum, those exhibits do change out every year-ish, but they stay up a little longer. So it's kind of a fun way to get more deeply involved with the information around it if you choose to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and of course, we have to mention the 12 by 12, right?
Oh,
what's
yeah.
going on with that?
Yeah, so I'm reminding people as much as we can to think about applying and to come up with something fun. The deadline for the 12 by 12 is February 15th. So you've got about a month and a half left. That's it, but I got 6 weeks. And so the theme this year is rhythm. It's the 21st annual 12 by 12 community art exhibition. Anyone can apply. It costs a $12 entry fee. That's it. we'll hang your art up for you and everything. But
I love
yeah.
that. It's kind of like mudrooms. Like it's 12 yeah. by 12 and it only costs $12.
Exactly. You put these couple little constraints on, make it easy for people to remember.
Yeah. That's kind of fun. When does that open?
So that'll be in March. It'll be March 7th to April 19th.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. cool. So, and people still have time to apply.
Yep, you got about 6 weeks left. And so, and you don't even have to be all the way done. Well, no, I guess you kind of have to be done by the deadline. But you got some time to finish it up. And really, we encourage anybody and everybody, all art forms. And it can be 12 by 12 by 12, too. Last year, we had a couple of really, really cool 3D art pieces that were submitted.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was really cool to see.
Yeah, I love the 3D. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to see what people come up with this year.
Mm-hmm.
And is that everything that's happening at the museum right now?
I think so. Just, you know, we got free admission, come by, lots of fun stuff to see, especially when we have these cold, dark, rainy, maybe not as snowy as we'd like days.
Chilly for sure.
Chilly days. Yeah, yeah, come by. We've got lots of fun art. First Friday with Celia Bauer, Getting to Know the Birds, 4:30 to 7 this Friday. Tomorrow.
Yeah, 4:30 tomorrow. First Friday at the Juno Douglas City Museum. Of course, you can always find everything that's going on at the museum at juno.org/museum. Kate, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about it, and we'll see you next month.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha Crane and Dragonfly. She'll be part of the Point House Benefit Concert that will be playing here in Juneau on January 31st. You can go to pointhouse.org for more information on that benefit concert. Also with Yahtzeen and Portugal the Man. Up next, a new garden support group for widows and widowers begins next Monday. We'll talk with organizers next here on Juno Afternoon. But first, this week's Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Each year, Juno Animal Rescue gives pet owners a chance to put their favorite photos somewhere other than social media while promoting animal adoption. JAR's animal calendar is made up of pets who win a photo contest voted on by the community. And the whole thing, from the contest to the calendars themselves, is a fundraiser to support the daily needs of all the pets waiting to be adopted at the shelter. Juno Animal Rescue's Executive Director Rick Driscoll and board member Aurora Hawk say the process takes about 6 months and features all types of animals.
I'm Aurora Hawk. I am on the board of JAR and I am the fundraising committee chair. The photo contest and calendar together raise between $10,000 and $12,000 per year for the shelter. For about 6 weeks, starting in July, but we're going to move it forward to June, so look at our socials then. We have the photo contest in which people can enter their photos and vote on them and also get their family and friends to vote for their photos so that they can get into the calendar. This year, we introduced a feature called Reserve a Spot, where you can put a picture of your pet on a particular day. For instance, my rescue, Pomeranian Bear, is on his Gotcha Day, April 24th. And when that closes, the top 10 vote getters are featured in the calendar in the months. We also jury with the Juno Photo Group. It's a Facebook group here in town. The best cat and the best dog picture. And then the board chooses the cover. This cat's name is Wink.
Yeah.
And she is a JAR alumni as well, so really lovely to see that.
My name is Rick Driscoll. I'm the executive director of Juno Animal Rescue. When people enter their photo of their pet to the contest, they get to like write a little narrative about their pet. And so Wink, this is from the narrative that we received. Wink came to Jar in December 2023 as a tiny kitten. Her right eye was pretty badly injured, but after trying to save it, they decided that she would be more comfortable and would recover faster without it, so her right eye was removed. As she healed up, she was able to meet her new dog sisters and has since joined them on hikes and beach trips. She's a very adventurous and loves to explore new things.
I would say a good camera that takes a really high quality, high resolution picture so that it looks really nice and sharp in the calendar. And then just look at everything we have outside. Just go outside with your pet and take a picture. One of my favorite pictures from this year is a cat looking longingly out the window.
Tupac,
yes. Yeah.
We want to inspire people to adopt pets. That's probably the primary reason why we do it. It's open to anybody with a pet. And I get the most excited when we get entries that aren't necessarily cats or dogs. We get goats or turtles or various reptiles.
Hamsters.
Yes. Chinchillas, that sort of thing.
That was Juno Animal Rescue's Rick Driscoll and Aurora Hawk talking about their yearly pet calendar contest and fundraiser. You can find the 2025 Alaska Pet Calendar at junoanimalrescue.org or in person at the animal shelter. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Next Monday, January 6th at Riverview Senior Living is the first meeting of the Widows and Widowers Garden Support Group. You can find out more by calling 907-789-3133, or you can fill out the interest survey online at bit.ly/WWGSG. But how and why did this group come about? Well, I'm joined in studio now by three wonderful community members to tell us more. First, we have Diane Kaiser, founder of the support group. I also have Deborah Craig, chair of the Juno Commission on Aging, and Janice Holst, retired director of the Janice D. Holst School of Dance. Gunath Chi, Shah Yayadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here in the studio today. Wasiati, how's it going, Diane?
It's going great, and I'm very grateful that you're having all three of us here.
Of course. How are you, Deborah?
I'm great. Thanks so much.
Gunath Chi and Janice, hi.
Hi, just fine and dandy.
I love that. That's so good. Okay, so Diane, let's start with you.
Okay.
Because this is a new group. It's called the Widow and Widowers Garden Support Group. How did this come about? Where did the idea come from?
Well, I became a widow in the middle of 2020 and not from COVID. Very unexpected, not planned. And during the ensuing years until this year, I was looking for a widow support group. And there are none in town. There used to be one run by Sue Nelson, backed by AARP. I attended the Southeast Regional Coalition Summit in the fall of this year, and that was put on by the Juno Economic Development Council and a few other agencies. And I was looking for Sue Nelson to see if she still was going to continue this group. She said, no, I'm not. I've lost my backing to AARP, and I just don't have the energy. And it was suggested that I might start one, and I just thought, that's a little much for one person to do. But with the encouragement of the Juno Economic Development Council, Catholic Community Services, Southeast Regional Coalition, Southeast Regional Elder Care Coalition, and Riverview Senior Living, I was encouraged to start the group and they would support and encourage me. So initially I came up with a name. First it was just Widows Garden Support Group, and I had several men push back and say, well, what about the widowers? So I had to make sure I include the men by saying widowers. And I chose to use the word garden because when you say just widowers or widowers, it's kind of sad and depressing. But when you use the word garden, it's more uplifting. And the phrase I like to let everyone know about is that we're all living in the garden of life and we're learning and growing. And people had a positive response to that at the summit. And then the next step was to design the logo, which you have in front of you. And then Riverview stepped up and said that we can meet on a continual basis at their facility, depending on what size of the group is and what room. You know, they'll give us different rooms as to how big or small our group is, and with refreshments. And the owners of Riverview Senior Living is very supportive of this organization. And I'm grateful for the support of all these organizations to help me support the widow and widowers in town. On my block alone, there's three widows. And there's a fair amount of widow or widowed person, widows or widowers in town, and they don't have anywhere to meet. There are a lot of other grieving agencies for other things like drugs or alcohol or things like that. But I wanted to focus only on the widow and widowers, because that's a change that you're losing a partner suddenly or over time, you know, because they've had an illness. It varying degrees is why you would lose a partner. And I'm glad to be able to support this. And it feels rewarding that I now can answer to other people as far as, okay, we do have a group. This first group is more of learning what we need. I also have an agency in town that does the wellness support group for the police department, and they have agreed to be the referring agency for counseling. So I have a lot of different pieces in place to support us. Activities for outdoor activities, indoor activities. Riverview Senior Living has just donated a ping pong table for our group so we can play indoor activities when it's the weather's inclement. We can go out and do bowling together, restaurants together, movies together, hiking together, and community service. But the most important piece of all this is to be able to come and share and have sort of a talking circle environment.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's interesting because when I was looking into this, I didn't know. I was like, why is it widow and widowers? I had to look that up.
Yep.
I didn't know
yep.
what that was. And I guess that because widow was the term that was used forever for females, which also has a little bit of history in terms of stigma to it a little bit, right? So I love that you're adding something more positive to it. And then widowers came up, I guess, later than the term widow, because there wasn't a term for men. I guess they figured men would just go get a new wife or something. And, you know, the poor widows would be, you know, left all alone, right? So
exactly.
It's just that sort of history that now we're sort of remaking, which is kind of nice. So I love that. And then, yeah, the word garden, I was like, oh, is this a gardening
I know,
group?
Yes.
And then, but I love, because then you said activities were going to be like ping pong and bowling and all these different things that you might be doing.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I thought they were going to be gardening.
Right.
But,
so,
but it's great because you have that great phrase, right?
Which and is, also, if people think it's a garden group, they'll come up to you and ask you about it. And that gives me or anybody else an opportunity to explain what it actually is. And that's why I make sure that phrase is in there. We're all living in the garden of life. And that's the bottom of that logo, as you can see.
Yeah, we're all living in the garden of life. Great phrase. And another good phrase that is out there is the slogan for the Juno Commission on Aging. Aging, so cool, everyone is doing it. Is that still your slogan? I love that.
That is still our slogan, Boston.
Hi, Deborah. That's so good. Yeah, it's such a wonderful thing. But tell us a little bit just about the Juno Commission on Aging and a little bit of how you're involved with the Garden Support Group.
Thanks for asking. Yes, we are so pleased to be a part of the Widows and Widowers Garden Support Group. For a little background context with the Juno Commission on Aging, we are a commission appointed by the CBJ Assembly to provide advice and input on all the issues affecting seniors. And to that end, every 10 years, and many people don't realize this, the JCOA, the Juno Commission on Aging, performs a citywide survey of seniors. We last did it in 2000. We do it in concert with the census.
2020?
Mm-hmm. And we do, through that survey, and it's again throughout Juno, we assess senior status, what their health is, their housing, their well-being, etc. And we also glean information about their needs. What kind of activities do they want? What kind of services do they want, etc.? We've also partnered in the past with AARP. AARP is a great partner in Juno. We have a very active AARP community action group. And they recently facilitated some listening sessions with seniors at the three public libraries. And both of those tools provided information to us, resulting in not just JCOA's priorities, but supporting activities like the Widows and Widowers group. That was one of the issues that emerged in most of our gatherings, that there is a need for a group to support those that have lost their loved ones. Mm-hmm. So JCOA fully supports Diane's efforts to develop this group for anyone who's lost a spouse and to partner with them to adapt to the new situations. We're impressed with her efforts, and we've actually, based on her activities and her enthusiasm about serving seniors in the community, asked Diane to join the commissioners, the Juvenile Commission on Aging.
Oh, there you go.
And so we're looking forward to her being appointed at the CBJ Assembly meeting in January.
It's so true. The more good work you do, the more you get asked to do other things.
Busy people. Yep.
I'm honored and quite surprised. I was not expecting that. Again, my role was to just basically support and help other people. And I could not have done it without the Junior Economic Development Council, the Southeast Regional Elder Care Coalition, Catholic Community Services, and most importantly, Riverview Senior Living.
Yeah, I feel like Juno has, and Deborah, you might be able to speak to this, but I feel like Juno has fantastic social service organizations that really help all folks. But in terms of our seniors, it seems like we have a lot of different support things. And there might be a few things missing, like, and then Diane sees this little missing piece and is like, well, let me fill that in. And then everybody's, yes, we want to do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's about time and resources. Mm-hmm. And how important is it to support a group like the Widows and Widowers Support Group?
Well, garden Support Group.
Garden Support Group,
the
yes.
Garden Support Group. It's interesting because 30% of the people that live in Juno are over 55. Mm. So that's a pretty significant cohort in terms of who we're serving through these activities with the Juno Commission on Aging, the Southeast Regional Elder Care Coalition. And you are correct. We have a plethora of groups and agencies that are providing services, not just to seniors, but to people across the age spectrum. And one of the reasons we've moved towards the idea of aging so cool, everybody's doing it, is that aging is not just a senior issue. Right. We're all doing it. And we want people to age through each age cohort, each demographic, in as healthy a way as possible. And so what we're trying to do is not just help with seniors, but everybody who's aging, which is everybody in the community. So thanks for bringing that up.
Of course. Yeah. And Janice, hi. Gunnith Cheese for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, how important is a group like this to you? You're a recent widow, yes?
Yes, just 2 years and 6 months.
Yeah.
So It's hard, and it's really important to make sure that we keep getting out, you know, and staying involved. So that's how I'm going to do it. And I'm good on the telephone, so I offer to be their telephone committee because I can talk.
Right. Dial that phone and get people out. And what are you most looking forward to with this support group?
Just getting out there and letting them see that there are other people in the same boat, so to speak, but we can all sail along nicely if we just, you know, keep paying attention to each other and finding out what anyone needs, and maybe just sitting in the corner having a cup of tea with someone, talking on a day that we stop in for a meeting, you know.
That's a good theme, right? Just that you're not alone, right? Someone is going through the things that you're going through. Someone can talk to you and maybe has even the same exact feeling as you, or maybe it's slightly different, but there's some common ground you can find in there. And just being able to communicate, as opposed to, you know, sometimes when you're a widow or widower and you're at home and you were living alone, you were living together, now you're living alone, maybe your kids are out of state, they're not here, things like that, or you don't have kids maybe. And so all of those things come into play, you know, and you don't want to just be at home, right?
You know, socialization is so important, not just for seniors, but we learned this through the COVID pandemic, for everybody.
Yes.
There's been some recent research that shows that being lonely is as detrimental to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
What?
Yep.
Yes.
Wow.
It is completely detrimental to your health. And so any kind of mechanism that we can support and build to provide those opportunities for people to come in and share their experience, and actually not just share their experience, but share how to move forward.
Exactly.
You know, each person comes in with some ideas about this is how I made this work for me, or this is how I survived this situation. Mm-hmm. And that's so important for people to be able to hear that message from others who've been there.
And Janice made a valuable point. She says getting out and doing things. When you become a widow, from my experience, and this is not for everybody, but each person's a bit different, of course, getting out is the most hardest thing to do. Because you are going through mourning and grieving, two different processes, and people don't realize that. And so having mechanisms that get you out and accountable and just motivate you, and maybe you don't feel like doing it initially, but once you're there, you're glad you did. That, I think this group will be a big part of that.
And I just want to ask Janice, I feel like you're a ping pong shark, Janice. Are you a ping pong shark? You got all those dance moves, right? You got the dance moves, and you're going to be flying all over.
I'm just wild, wild and crazy. That's me. If you want to have fun.
Yeah, so this is Juno Afternoon. We're talking about the Widows and Widowers Garden Support Group. It's starting next Monday. Mm-hmm. And so what are you looking for now, Diane? Are you looking for people to go and fill out this survey to let you know that they want to show up?
Exactly.
Even if they can't make it on Monday, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And show the interest. And also, it gives us some demographics so we know where they're at. Already several people have filled it out. I have one woman, her husband passed away 6 months ago. I have another woman, she's been a widow for 30 years. The gamut's, broad, but obviously they want someone to talk to, or they wouldn't be interested in the support group. But yes, I'm definitely looking. There are some people that aren't computer comfortable, so they're not comfortable scanning the QR code and then filling out the survey. They can give me a call, and I can do a survey over the phone. There was a message phone number on the flyer, and you can give that phone number. And it's I'll give it to you to make it easier for you. 907-789-3133. And then if you want to go to the website, I don't have my glasses on. I'll let
It's bit.ly/WWGSG.
Yes. Yeah. And then there are flyers around town, and that QR code is on the flyers. So I know there's one in Fred Meyer's. I believe there's one in the Nugget Mall, and I'm getting ready to post some in the other grocery stores.
Cool. And is the plan to meet monthly?
Yes.
Monthly
for at least one day a month, no matter what. And then other days can be added for activities. I have scheduled with Riverview Senior Living the first Monday and the third Monday. The first Monday is for talking and meeting and having conversation. And the third Monday is some sort of activity, whether it's at Riverview within their walls or out in the community.
I see. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Deborah.
Well, and the Juno Commission on Aging is on the CBJ website. And if you go to the CBJ website or just Google the Juno Commission on Aging, you'll find our website. And we have a reference to this in our activities section. So that's a great way to also access this information.
Thank you.
And it also gives you, what's great about your website, too, is it gives you all of the various other services and things that are available around town.
Yeah, it's a very robust website, and we thank the CBJ for all their help in putting that together.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And I'm grateful for Janice being part of this because she has such a cheerful disposition and very encouraging, and I really enjoy that about her.
Oh, thanks. And I'm actually proud of JEDC. Because that's my son, Brian Holt.
That's right,
met you there. Yeah. And he told me, he introduced us again, even though we had known each other. Mm-hmm. He thought he was discovering a great person. He said, I already know her.
You're like, good job, Brian, but I already know her.
I love her.
And I want to thank you for allowing us to come here and share this information and getting it out to the community.
Of course.
Very
grateful. It's a pleasure to do that. So let me give all these details once again. It's the Widow and Widowers Garden Support Group. We are all living in the garden of life is the motto. It's an opportunity for widows and widowers to join a monthly support group, and they're going to be doing all kinds of things, ping pong, food, possibly movies, other things that might happen. It's really up to the people. One of the questions on the survey is, what do you want to do?
Exactly.
Which is really kind of cool. And you can fill out that survey at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/WWGSG. Or you can leave a message at this phone number, 907-789-3133, to express your interest. It's going to be happening at Riverview Senior Living, which is located out in the valley at 3041 Clinton Drive. It's right across the street from the Safeway and the new search building that's out that way. And that's what's going to be happening. And I really want to thank Diane and Deborah and Janice for coming in and sharing about it. It sounds like a great idea. I hope it takes off, and we'll see you when you are reporting back later on and tell us all about it again, please.
Thank you for your time. Support. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much.
Gwyneth Cheesh, I really appreciate it. Okay, up next, we chat with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council about First Friday, monthly events, and more. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. But first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That mint grows well in Alaska, that it's endowed with certain unalienable flavors, that among these are sweetness, a peppery bite, and a refreshing menthol kick. Ask any gardener and they'll tell you that mint supplements its main job as a kitchen herb with a side gig in world domination. This herb spreads by creeping rhizomes, runners that spread far and wide given the chance. Properly reined in with the help of a sturdy pot, mint can be a boon to your garden, your health, and your dinner table. Let facts be submitted to a candid world. Mint attracts beneficial garden pollinators like bumblebees and hummingbirds. Mint oils have anti-inflammatory and antiviral properties that support the immune system. Mint-based condiments go great with seafood. Pestos and chutneys are two easy preparations for enhancing a simple dish of salmon, halibut, crab, or shrimp. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary to create a sauce for a spicy seafood dish, you can do no better than a cooling Indian-style raita made with yogurt and lots of fresh mint. If you crush the mint with a mortar and pestle to release its flavorful oils and bright pigments, diners are sure to unanimously declare this condiment a favorite. Find the full recipe for mint raita for spicy seafood at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Shortroads. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
This is Juno Afternoon on your public media station, KTOO. That's a little Yahtzeen with Get Yourself Together. The third artist that is playing at the Point House Benefit Concert at the end of this month, January 31st here in Juno, February 1st in Sitka. They'll be playing here at the Elizabeth Perachevich Hall. It's all part of the Point House Benefit Concert. You can find out more and get your tickets at pointhouse.org. I heard they're going fast, so if you want to see that concert at the end of the month with all these great artists, get yourself on it. I am here now in the studio with two of my favorite artists in town, and that is Rochelle Bonet and Phil Hipshin from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Happy New Year.
Wow. Happy New Year.
Happy
Thank
New
you
Year.
So much for that very nice compliment.
Of
we weren't
course
fishing or anything.
Wow. It's always a good time to hear about what's going on over at the JAC. And also what's really great about the JAC, the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, is that you support so many other artists and organizations in this town. You're an umbrella for a lot of nonprofits who are trying to get their nonprofit status. You do all kinds of things with other groups, education, everything, which is just really great. And then you also put on your own events. And so that's just, it's just really awesome that we have this kind of organization here in our town and the work that you do. So that's just my Happy New Year wish
for
you.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
So let's talk about First Friday, Rochelle, and what's going on. I usually, in the past couple years, Juno Afternoon has come back a little later. We've missed the first Friday in January.
That's right.
But what's happening in this one? What's happening?
So usually in January, it's a little bit more of a quiet First Friday. Everybody's getting back from the holidays and getting back in the swing of things. I think we have 12 or 13 events going on around town. One that we're excited about is our new exhibit over at the Jack in the gallery. We're featuring a solo show by Juliana Cornett, and her show is called Wild Cabins. It's a collection of drawings that highlight all of the hikeable Juno cabins that she has stayed at.
That's cool.
It's a fun show. And she didn't include any of the drive-up cabins and those accessible by boat or float plane, but so only the hikeable ones.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And did you say the show had hikeable in the title?
It's called Wild Cabins.
Wild Cabins. Okay, yeah.
I'm excited for this one. You know I'm a sucker for Juno merch is what I call it. And this is not Juno merch, but it's still like in my brain fulfilling the role of like Juno collectible, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like I grew up in these cabins. I'm really excited to see.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's going to be fun.
So that is from 4 to 7 p.m. over at the Jack. And then across the street at the Davis Gallery, we are hosting a Jack staff board and volunteer exhibit. It's a small little show. It's got a variety of different types of art pieces from some of our staff, some of our board, and some of our volunteers. And so that's also open 4 to 7 p.m. during First Friday.
And then those will both be up for the month as
yes.
well, right? Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Absolutely.
That sounds good. And are there other ones to highlight around town? I know the museum has a couple good ones going
yes.
on. Like you said, it's a little bit smaller of a First Friday, but there's still some cool things
It's a little
happening.
Bit smaller of a First Friday. There's a couple things happening downtown that I'm really excited about, in the theme of it being like smaller and quieter and just nice and cozy. Hearthside Books is having a silent reading at their downtown location.
Oh, nice.
Just a night to get together, read, have a cozy little like tea and cookie and reading, you know, not necessarily an art show, but a good little community moment.
Community gathering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Annie Kales is having their annual sale. So if you are late on holiday shopping, it's a good place to visit. But that's always a annual January thing they do, and you can get some really great deals. Another one that always happens in January is the Juno Artist Gallery is having their artist search. They're looking for new co-op members to join. So if you're an artist out there and you've been looking to get more involved and start showing and selling your work, contact the Juno Artist Gallery.
And yes, and they'll be on the show tomorrow and give out a bunch of details about all of that. The other person who will be on the show tomorrow, which is having his first solo exhibition, is Fubao Hardal.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, his first solo exhibition. So he'll be on the show tomorrow to chat a little bit about his First Friday event too.
Awesome. That'll be amazing.
Wonderful artist and photographer here in town.
We love Fubao. He has supported many of our events through silent auction items, and he's great.
Yeah.
At Spice, there is sounds like a very large exhibit with the Plain Rain Painters going up. 15 artists in Juno who, I did some internet recon, and it looks like they've been meeting since 2000, just selecting an outdoor location to meet at and paint together during the summer. So I imagine it's going to be a collection of those.
Is this their first show that they've...
I don't believe it's their first
show.
Okay.
What a cool idea, though.
It's a really cool idea. I'm really excited to see... kind of multiple takes and styles on like one central location and see.
Like they pick a spot and they all paint that spot.
They all meet there and they go there and they paint out in the woods, on the beach, wherever it is.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really excited for that one. And then at Devil's Club, Lance McMullen, who is a photographer, is having an exhibit there this Friday through the month. And it's a photo exhibit. And it sounds like the whole thing is like playing with exposures and layering images on top of each other.
Cool.
Yeah,
so
that should be really interesting.
It'll be really interesting. Photo shows are always, I'm always really intrigued by them because there's just such a cool level of like physical manipulation you can do in photo development that is completely alien to my brain.
But I think photos are one of those things where it seems easy to understand, but there's actually a lot that goes on behind it to make it happen. I mean, there's a lot of artists like that. But photography specifically for me, I look at it and go, oh, that's a cool picture. But then you realize, oh, they layered it, they double exposed it, they did all these things to it. And you have no idea that how that works, but you just the beneficiary of getting to see it with your eyeballs.
Yeah, I have no idea, and I am highly resistant to learning.
I'm not allowed to. Somebody else is doing it, which is great. I love it.
Need to do it. They got it covered.
We're the beneficiaries. Yeah, arts patrons.
Yeah. And then we also have a lot of Jack programs going on. Do you want to touch on any of them?
Yeah, what do we got for Jack programming for the month of January?
So,
or going into spring, whatever you got.
Yeah. So we have a few things coming up this month. We are doing a clowning workshop with Roblin Davis, and that starts next Tuesday. It's a Tuesday-Thursday workshop through the first week of February. Tickets are still available. It's kind of meant for folks who are interested in theater, all skill levels. After that, we have Technically Art. We're doing another one of those event planning 101. Anybody out there who's interested in learning more about what that takes, different things to consider, like everything that you could think of, we're going to touch on that.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Yeah, I think that like Technically Art, like the artisans have to be so organized. I think they are the perfect folks to give a event planning sort of workshop. And also about Roblin's physical work, if you have a student or you have a child, or I don't know what the age limit is on his workshop, but I know he works with youth a lot.
He does.
So if you have like an active youth who's, you know, moving around, and this gives them structure in terms of how to use their body.
Yes.
And even it's also for adults, I'm sure.
It is.
People who want to learn that side of things. Like it's a whole other side of performance and movement that is so cool.
Yeah.
And Roblin's like an expert. He's been an artist in the schools for, I don't know, like 25 years, it seems like. He's been doing it a long time.
He's been doing it a long time, and his background is really cool.
That's like, what he does. Yeah.
He is in it, and he's so good at it.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love
and
that.
All the participants will get a red clown nose.
That's a must. Oh, you do?
I do.
That's a new requirement at the Jack for any kind of program.
Just any show at the Jack. Yeah. You have to have a red clown nose. Wouldn't that be fun if like everybody went to First Friday with a red clown nose on?
I think that would be great.
Yeah. Do it.
I think that would be. I don't know what month you should pick for that, but I think that
January
would be
January 2025.
pull out your red noses, everybody. All right, and is that all for January?
I think that's largely everything we got going on in January.
Stress-free art night, January 22nd at the Jack. Mixed media is the theme for that.
There are also a few things, because if you're like me, it's not January. 2025 isn't real yet.
Definitely not.
Look ahead to February. We have some cool stuff early in February, a few workshops coming up, sewn bags, enamel earrings, which we did last year too and was really popular. So definitely check out our website to get those tickets early. And then we also have the gospel choir workshop that we do every year.
Oh, that's in February? Okay.
And Motown is coming back too, so.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll come back and talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk next month about that. Yeah.
And Clink tickets are now on sale on our website. It's happening a bit later this year in the end of March, I
March
believe.
March 28th, I believe.
And that's usually a sellout event.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
It's a fundraiser for us.
It's a fundraiser for the Jack, and there are VIP tickets available. And with those, you get your own kind of separate higher-end tasting experience along with the main event. So it's a really cool little date night sort of thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year
to the Jack. Happy New Year to the arts community here in Juneau, which is just fantastic always. And it's always a pleasure to highlight that here on the show. If there's anything that you want to know about that is going on in the community, you can go to jahc.org. There's a community calendar on there that you can submit your own events to. There's tickets for all the different events in town. There's also a button you can click to get all the First Friday information every month that Rochelle keeps updated. And you can also go on there and submit your First Friday event. So if you are wanting to be part of that grouping and let people know about it, There's a little submit button to put your event on there. So that's really, really cool. So Rochelle, Phil, thank you so much. That will do it for this episode of Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, Gold Street Music is back, plus artist and photographer Fubao Hartle on his first solo exhibition, and the Juno Artist Gallery is looking for members. We'll find out how you can get involved. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Okbe 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gwyneth Cheesh, and have a warm and wonderful Juno evening.